Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Listen, we stuff this podcast with ads like Jonathan Sullivan used to stuff his face with hot dogs during the pregame for Saints games. If you don't like the ads, sign up and become a patron today. Patrons get access to this podcast ad-free. No ads ever. And they get the Booze Bundle welcome box, 4 swag items, amazing, and a Saints player card, and you get access to the Discord channel. Why wouldn't you do it? It's $10. You're practically making money. So do it today. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up to become a patron. That's saintshappyhour.com.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome into another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's the middle of the week, so that means it's time to talk Saints player grades with Andrew. Andrew grades every Saints player, every play, every week. And if you become a $10 patron, you get access to his written grades all season long. You should do it. Austin, Lone Wolf, Laura, they all did it after the Bucks game and became a Saints Happy Hour patron. And they'll get the Booze Bundle swag box shipped to them from
my wife.
And you should too, because it's amazing. Andrew, did you have to have the lights down low and like some soft music playing while you were great doing these Saints grades? This must have been the most excited you've been to do Saints grades in like 2 years. Like that Tampa game, they just put their foot in the Tampa's ass and kicked and all the way in. It was glorious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're not challenged at all, it's kind of tough in the sense that it's just like everything seemed to come easy. But yeah, it was just one of those games, and really Jared Cook was the only exception, where everything was firing on all cylinders. No one really had a bad game. I think it was tough in some ways to contribute. I mean, you saw Michael Thomas only had 5 catches, Emmanuel Sanders had 4. And I think it just like they didn't have a ton of opportunities just because, well, first of all, Breeze was spreading the ball around like crazy.
12 guys caught passes.
When you're up 28 to nothing, you know, it's the need for stats is significantly decreased.
Well, I want to start with the defense, but my only nitpick with you about the grades that I disagreed with is you gave Dwayne Washington a C. And I believe, Andrew, when he's getting carries and no one is injured, he should automatically get an A+, because that's like a victory. That's like a victory cigar for the Saints. So that's my only disagreement with you on grades. But I want to start with the defense, and we got to start with Trey Hendrickson. First of all, he's making the 2017 draft go to a whole other level. The dude is 3rd in the NFL in sacks. That's right, 3rd. He's got 7.5 sacks. He sacked Tom Brady 3 straight times. One of them didn't count because it was a penalty, but whatever. It was amazing performance. And if I was him, I'd have literally, after the 3rd sack, given the double birds to Bruce Arians. Because that's the kind of petty son of a bitch I am. He didn't do it, but he should have. Andrew, he's been ridiculous.
Yeah, he's it's funny. He's not – I think he grades out like the 11th or 12th best player on the roster through 8 weeks. And he's a tough guy to grade because he'll go long stretches where he doesn't do much. He's been kind of doing that all season. And, you know, Arians had the famous quote that he's easy to block, but I think it's one of those things where, you know, left tackles, they do a pretty good job for long stretches against him. And then boom, like he just makes one hustle play, and but it's effective. Like clearly, mm-hmm. he has 7.5 sacks this year. So he's a tough guy to grade. And that it's not like it's weird. It's like Onyemata or Davenport so far this year, they're flashing consistently. And so you just when you watch the tape, you see them consistently doing stuff, but they're not necessarily getting home. Whereas like anytime Hendrickson flashes, he finishes. It kind of reminds me of the Vic Beasley season.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying.
Where
he had like 16.5 sacks, where like something ridiculous, like 80% of his pressures turned into sacks.
Yeah.
And it just feels like Hendrickson's caught fire. He's got like that finishing gene right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he's always going to play this way. I don't know that he'll ever have a season like this again in his career. But like the dude has caught fire.
You know, and look, before steroids hit baseball, you know, and everybody started hitting home runs, you would have dudes that would, like, 1 year, they'd be like, that dude hits 11 home runs a year. And then 1 year, 33. And then he'd go back to hitting 11. And it's just, like, one of those things, man. You get the fastball, or you get the chance to sack the quarterback, and you finish. But I want to talk about the defense is, my boy, David Onyemata, was ridiculous in this game again. And Andrew, when the Saints signed him, the Saints were like, we didn't think we were going to be able to keep him at that rate because the Saints valued him so high. If he plays at this level, he's outperforming that contract, and he's like a $10-plus million player above that, but the Saints only pay him like $9 million. He's been tremendous, and I said it when they signed him. I liked him because he didn't really play college. He didn't play football till he was in college. So, like, I always felt like he had room to grow. And we're seeing it, man. He's become a really, really good defensive tackle.
He's a force. And it's funny. I think the Saints have been just completely justified in the investment of both him and Andres Pete this offseason.
Yeah.
And the way both of those guys are playing right now, you would have said, that feels expensive for Onyemata. And with Andres Pete, it was even more vitriol. It was, how could they do that? How could they pay him this much? You know, you and I kind of justified it on this podcast, but I just feel like those two players, and right now we're talking about Onyemata, but he has been by far the most consistent player. And now we're 8 weeks into the season. They've played 8 games, so we're at the midseason point.
Yep.
He has the highest GPA of the entire defense, and David Onyemata, point blank, is my defensive MVP of the midyear.
Yeah, and the thing is with the Saints' pass rush is, look, we've been concerned about it. We said it when they tried to get Clowney, that showed that they were worried about it too. They dodged another bullet because Clowney was a disaster in Tennessee, and now he's hurt. So Mickey Loomis, again, unable to execute a bad decision. But you saw the pass rush from the jump in this game. Cam Jordan whips Wirth and hits Brady. They sacked him 3 times, but I would argue when you get 2 to 3 sacks on Brady and Breeze, that means you have the heat dial turned up to 10, and it's just killing them. And that's what it was, Andrew. Brady never looked comfortable in that game for a series. Like, it was just complete and utter domination up front.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the MVP of the season, Cam Newton, the year that he had, which was fantastic, everyone talking about him. And then you look at what the Denver Broncos made him look like in the Super Bowl. And that's it. You get pressure on the quarterback, and I don't care who the quarterback is. You hit him enough times, and you start to disrupt them and affect their accuracy, and they start to get jittery. And look, no one likes getting hit, and quarterbacks maybe least of all. But that's exactly what the Saints did. The pressure was phenomenal all game, and really, I mean, when you look at Malcolm Brown and David Onyemata and what they were able to do on the interior. It's kind of sad that Sheldon Rankins was out because this would have been a great game, I think, for him to produce. Obviously, Marpet was out for Tampa. That was a big loss. And whoever they had in there replacing him was a disaster. And the Saints fully capitalized. So I don't know that they'll be I don't know that the pass rush will always be like this. I don't know that they'll always have a guy like Marpet being out and then his replacement being you know, the kindergarten version of Marpet, but that's what it was in this game, and the Saints just fully capitalized.
Brady is not immobile like Joe Flacco was at the end of his play when he started, where he's completely immobile, but he's close. So that means when you play Tom Brady, you know that dude's going to be in the pocket. He's not scrambling. He's not even going to really move that much like Breeze even. So it gives you a stationary target to hit at. Other thing with the defense, Andrew, the pass defense was amazing. Lattimore again showed the world that Mike Evans is his son. But Janoris Jenkins was good right off the bat. And, you know, when Tom Brady sort of went to the fuck it, let's just hope for PI offense, the Saints didn't comply. They didn't have penalties, that, you know. And so the secondary was great again. I mean, well, the corners were great. But tonight, but Malcolm Jenkins, specifically, that's what I meant. He was great again. Great against Graham. Great against Gronk.
Yeah, he's starting to really ascend, which is great to see. And that was another good investment. You're starting to feel good about Malcolm Jenkins and Emmanuel Sanders too. So I think it's going to – so this is the secondary we were promised, right? This was the secondary that the local media told us all training camp – that this is what we were going to get. Three picks. Now, I know Onyemata got one of the picks on the tip, but so two picks from the secondary and Malcolm Jenkins shutting out Gronk. I think he had one catch for 2 yards on 6 targets. I mean, that was just total domination.
Yep.
DeMario Davis looked good in coverage. Obviously, Lattimore shut down Evans. Janoris Jenkins looked good. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a little bit up and down, but, you know, and then Marcus Williams making the play over the top. So this is the secondary that we were promised and expected. And Ralph, I have to say, they looked focused, and obviously they rose to the occasion. And so now, you know, for a while, you know, we were saying, are they ever going to turn a corner? At some point, they are what we see. Well, clearly now we know what they're capable of. We know this secondary when they when the stakes are high and they're focused and they play to their ability. This is what they can be, and this is what we can get. And so now I just look ahead, and we'll talk more about this game, but I just want to make one quick point about this coming week against the 49ers. You've got Nick Mullins at quarterback. You've got a team that's really beat up. On paper, the secondary should be able to build off this momentum and absolutely blanket the 49ers. They should be
the
able
thing is
to
with the Saints
completely
schedule.
Shut them down, but they've had a tendency this year to sink to the level of their competition, get complacent, make mental mistakes. And so that's going to be the big challenge to them now. Now we know how good they are. We've seen them do it.
Yeah.
Now they've got to build off that and show that same focus and consistency with a much weaker opponent.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff early. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, I said it in my WWL column. I said, look, We knew their problems. It's inconsistent pass rush, defensive mental errors and defensive penalties in the secondary. We know that they can fix it now because we saw it against Tampa. But was the fix a permanent fix, or was it flex seal in a boat where it's only going to last a week and then it's going to be back to normal where the leaks are springing everywhere? We'll just have to see. The other thing, man, with this defense is, you know, they didn't even have Kwon Alexander. Like, he's coming, and Andrew, and if he's healthy, then you can go to even another level.
Yeah, I mean, like we've said, I think with Kwon, he's a guy that was added as much for depth, and I mean, I do think he'll replace Anzalone, and I do think he'll be better, but I don't think it's that they hated Anzalone, it's that they just felt like we're two players deep at linebacker, and if one goes down, that could sink the whole ship. And so I just think they got to a point where, like, we need to add another guy, let them compete, Anzalone and Kwon Alexander. But if something happens to DeMario Davis or Anzalone, we're not sunk at the position now. We have another guy. So I think that was as much about mitigating their risk and giving themselves a little bit of buffer as they go through the season. But, yeah, now you've got another guy coming on board that's very talented. And, look, we know what two speedy, effective linebackers we've seen all year, what that's done for Tampa. Even in this game, I mean, you know, Lavonte David and Devin White still, I mean, they looked impressive and had good plays. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what Kwon Alexander does next to DeMario.
Well, and as we look and as we move over to the offense, and look, Drew Brees was brilliant. He had two, you know, really to my way of thinking, the fumble, yeah, he'd like a little bit better ball security, but that's just a bad break where he's trying to throw and he hits him right at the exact moment, you know. And, you know, Cook fumble, that's not on Brees. The only really bad throw he had, that throw to JPP, where if JPP has all his fingers, let's be real, he makes that interception. But, like, besides that, he was flawless. And, Andrew, I'll say it again. You can talk about the offensive line in a minute. But I feel like Brees, I feel like he's moving in the pocket as good as he ever has. Like, it's uncanny how mobile and flexible, or whatever you want to call it, in the pocket he looked. He was moving up, he was moving left. It's a sight to behold. A 41-year-old dude shouldn't be doing this.
It just seems like he's getting better every week.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't come as that big of a surprise, I guess, in the sense that, again, this isn't Deshaun Watson, this isn't Mahomes. He can't show up week one after no training camp, after no preseason, after no OTAs, whatever, and fling it around the yard and just look amazing. That's not Brees. Like, Brees gets better as he studies more tape, as he spends more time developing chemistry with his receivers, as he locks in on his routine, as he, you know, all that stuff. And you can just tell he's building, and he's putting the time in. And that's how Brees gets better, and that's how Brees, week to week, starts to ascend. And so I think that's what you're seeing, is not only physically is he starting to look a little bit better, it's the chemistry. And Ralph, I want to take a quick victory lap because I said,
go ahead,
when Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders went down, I said that if they can just keep winning these games, Ralph, eventually this offense is going to benefit, because eventually those guys come back. And when they do, the Saints are going to be glad that they were forced into uncomfortable positions where Emmanuel Sanders had to be the guy, where he was forced to learn the playbook on a accelerated rate, and Tre'Quan Smith was forced to be the guy, and they were forced to throw Callaway in there, and he was going to have to run routes and make plays, because now all of a sudden you see Tre'Quan Smith reverts back to a much more comfortable role where he's targeted one time
Tre'Quan
for a touchdown,
Smith,
and he's wide open.
Tre'Quan Smith continues to be a Hall of Fame level receiver when teams forget he exists.
That's right. Deontay Harris, you know, one catch, but 40 yards, you know, and Callaway has a couple catches. They continue to keep him in the offense, and Brees is comfortable going his way, and Adam Trautman had a touchdown, you know. So I just think you look at this offense and how they were forced to operate without Michael Thomas, without Emmanuel Sanders for a little bit, and now they're just better off for it. And that's why you saw, I think, Breeze. This is not right now. This doesn't look like an offense where it's all Michael Thomas and Kamara.
No,
he's not throwing 10 to 15 times to Thomas. He didn't do it in that game. He completed it to 12 different receivers, and I think that's because right now the chemistry, he feels comfortable with everyone, so he's just going to throw it to the open guy.
Well, I'll say we'll get more into Troutman later on in the week and as the season goes, but he looks like a guy that he's worth giving up all those picks for. And I'm not saying he's going to be great, but Andrew, he looks like a guy that if he works hard and he's smart and he's blessed with staying healthy, he looks like he can be a 50 to 75 catch tight end guy. And listen, that's worth giving up 3-4 late round picks for, because it's a valuable thing. But I want to give you this theory. I was watching First Take, you know, but when the Saints win and they look amazing, right? We're all like, I got to listen to every national podcast. I got to watch ESPN. I got to watch First Take because I want to watch these people eat fucking crow about the Saints. And isn't this great? So I did that on Monday. I binged on all of it. But Dan Orlovsky was ripping Bruce Arians about, you don't play zone against Drew Brees. What are you doing, Tampa? And at first I was like, yeah, that's – why are teams stupid? Why do they keep playing zone against Drew Brees? But, Andrew, I have a theory. I think teams look at the – because the theory would be, look, you play man against the Saints and you make Drew Brees beat you deep, make him throw to the hash marks, and he can't do it because he doesn't have the arm anymore. And that's good in theory, but I think defensive coordinators, Andrew, I think they look at the Saints and they're like, we can't play fucking man. They have too many people to guard. And if we play man and Kamara beats a linebacker, we're fucking sunk. We can't play zone. We gotta play zone. Because man, they'll kill us. So that's my theory on what defenses are trying to do against the Saints.
I'm with you, and I think Michael Thomas is kind of the most important cog in that whole equation. Because you want to play man coverage. There's the layer that you just mentioned about Kamara, but it's also like, what are you going to do about Michael Thomas? How many corners in this league can play man press on Michael Thomas and not just get completely embarrassed? So I think if he's healthy and he's in the game, yeah, he's playing, that's where it starts to get at a level where it's like, holy shit, yeah, we got to go to zone. Like, well, what else are we going to do? We can't stop this guy.
Because if you go to man, Drew, we saw it last year. He will happily throw it to Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas will catch 11 balls for 119 yards and a touchdown. Like, we saw it all last year. Drew Brees is more than willing to do it.
Absolutely. No, I think Brees is smart enough to understand what the defense is trying to do and attack them. And yeah. I just want to say this about Breeze, Ralph. This is 2 weeks in a row he's been on the road. And I know there's no fans, but I want you to remember, 2 weeks in a row he's been on the road in very windy, very gusty conditions. Back-to-back weeks.
Yep.
Against the Bears, it was the number 9 defense in the NFL currently. Against the Bucks, it's the number 4 defense in the NFL currently. So two top 10 defenses. He ripped both of them to shreds. And the first one, he did without Michael Thomas, without Callaway, and without Emmanuel Sanders. So Breeze is at a level right now where he's done this. Like, that's been always been the narrative, is he can't get it done on the road. You know, he's an indoor quarterback, and he's done it in gusty condition. You know, he doesn't have the air yards, you know, or the A dot, V dot, A V dot, whatever it is. You know, he's terrible at all those metrics, and he's last in the league in air yards. And so he's terrible, yada, yada, yada. But what he's done the last 2 weeks, considering the defenses he's faced, considering the playmakers he was missing, and let's not – like, it was nice to get Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders back, but let's not pretend like there isn't some adjustment when guys have been out for weeks and they show – like, it's not like – I mean, it was surprising to me to see that – the engine just kind of fire up immediately, you know, because that's hard to do.
It was.
Also, you know, there's an acclimation period when you've been out for a while.
And when you say it fired up immediately, like the Saints from the jump on offense, it was like Tampa's, they, Tampa, they have no answers. And, like,
none.
You know, yeah. The fumble from Cook didn't really hurt them because they held Brady, and they had a punt from the end zone, and the Saints took it down and scored 14-0. But this offense was just – it was great from the jump. The one thing that I wanted to talk about, your offensive line grades were interesting in that you gave the guys in the interior – you know, they had – I think Ruiz had a C-plus and McCoy had a C. The one thing I'll say about that is I get it. Like, they struggled some. But I think that's – like, when you play Tampa, like, their defensive line, especially with Sue and the guys they have, like, it's always going to be that. Like, I don't think you're ever going to play Tampa and kick their ass in the interior. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience and is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turn off. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Like, the Saints kicked their ass overall, but I thought the interior guys, I get the grades, but what did you see from them specifically?
Yeah, and that's one thing with grades that's tough is it's not graded on a degree of difficulty, right? So if you're facing a defensive tackle that's a seventh or let's say a UDFA that's forced to start because of an injury, and you know, let's say McCoy abuses him all up and down the field, you know, and he gets an A+ because, you know, and he's not going to do that to Ndamukong Suh. That's just how it goes. So you know, from week to week, you know, the matchups, they change, and that's a reality. But I just thought it was interesting. Ruiz and Easton, I thought maybe this was to their detriment a little bit, but they were in what seemed like a platoon rotation system. And I just saw a lot of patchy play from those two in particular. Easton, to me, was the worst of the two. But there were a number of plays where you're like, oh, that wasn't a great block. And the Saints were fortunate that Breeze was getting the ball out so quickly and that the offense was in such sync that it kind of didn't matter. But I just thought the interior play, with the exception of Andres Pete, who I thought was once again terrific, I didn't think the interior was that great. Now, Ralph, I will say the tackles, I gotta quickly say something about Armstead and Ramczyk. Shaq Barrett, who led the league in sacks last year, I know he had the sack because Jared Cook somehow got isolated on him one-on-one and missed the block, but Ryan Ramczyk, besides that sack that was on Jared Cook, Ryan Ramczyk erased Shaq Barrett from this game. Completely erased him. What a gem he is for the Saints. What a player. And then on the other side, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul, he's been having a good year.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things where Armstead, he's been dealing with some stuff. Like, he's supposed to be injured. Like, he's supposed to not be 100%, but he erased Pierre-Paul on the other side of the ball. I mean, the only time Pierre-Paul was making plays was when he was dropping into coverage because it wasn't rushing the pass.
I love the quote from Breeze after the game when he threw the touchdown to Traquan, and he said he got hit and he was falling, and Teron Armstead caught him and said, "Bro, I just wanted you to see your touchdown pass." So I thought that was
so good.
So good. But the thing is, and I want to make this point, and I said it on Twitter on Sunday during the games, not during the Saints game, but during the NFL Sunday, and I said this, you know, Saints fans really, I think, you know, we don't take Breeze for granted. We say how great he is and all these other things, but I do think one thing Saints fans overlook is the offensive line play. You look at teams Tennessee, they lost Tyler Lewin, their great tackle. Their run game ain't been the same. Baltimore, yeah, they beat the Colts, but it was 24-10 and it was ugly. They're down two offensive linemen. Now, granted, their two offensive linemen they're down are Pro Bowlers, so it's a bad situation, and that, you know, maybe the Saints couldn't overcome that. But the Saints have overcome a lot these last 4 years at differing points on the offensive line, and they sort of shuffle it around and make it work. And I know a lot of it's Breeze getting rid of the ball quick, but I still think they deserve, the coaching staff deserves a hell of a lot of credit for keeping it together when they're shuffling all these pieces in and out.
I totally agree. Yeah. And that's a testament to Mickey Loomis too. I think his ability to just build a roster, get guys in there, and obviously the coaching staff to coach him up. But
yeah,
I think it really starts with the scouting department and Mickey Loomis communicating really well with the vision, what kind of players they want, and then finding players that fit that vision and that are good fits in their system. And so when you have an injury and you have to plug in guys or you have these shuffles, it works. And so I think, again, I just look at this offense right now, and I feel like they're at a space where they were forced to play some guys they weren't maybe super comfortable with, and now they are more comfortable and the horses are back. So it's a good place to be right now.
Yeah, and I'll wrap up with this, is the Saints, they only play one team with a winning record the rest of the way. And that's Kansas City. And Kansas City, you can make an argument that they might be the best. I know the Steelers are undefeated, but I think Kansas City's the best team in football. Like, Kansas City's so freaking good, they could play a C-plus, B-minus game and still win against decent teams. Like, they weren't even that good against Carolina, and they won. And Carolina's, like, in the mediocre middle. I get it. But the Saints, Andrew, I look at this schedule going forward. If they don't go 12-4, like, something went wrong. Like, they should be 12-4 or better, because they...
Well, the Saints are 5-2. Being a C-minus team all year. So
yeah,
I would say the same of the Saints. You know, they've won a lot of games playing like shit. No, you're absolutely right. And I think the schedule sets up favorably, but I think the challenge ahead, and what I would challenge, especially the secondary, somewhat the pass rush too, is that, all right, now you've shown us you can do it. We know how good you are. We saw you light up Tampa. Maybe what the local media told us about the secondary during training camp was true, and maybe what we believed about the roster and how talented and good it was, maybe all that was true. But now we've only seen you lock in when the stakes were the highest. And you, I would say the other good game they played was week one against Tampa.
Yeah.
So obviously when they get really motivated and it's a big game with big stakes, we know they lock in and play well. But I think, and it starts this very weekend against the San Francisco team that's beat up, that's playing terrible, that looks awful, that has a third-string quarterback in there that by all accounts is dead to rights at this point, have traded pieces away because they're kind of giving up on the season, including Quan Alexander, who ironically is going to play against this team this week. But I just think – this is the game where you have to say, okay, we just had a great game, but we need to build off it now. Because, like, you know what? If the Saints win by 7 points, but Nick Mullins throws for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, and, like, it's just way closer than it should be and it's uncomfortable, that's not going to feel good. Like, they now need to respond on top of this performance and prove to us and show us that they can keep the mental fortitude and focus.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? or the friends you find along the way. Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And it's not even about, to me, it's not, hey, you steamrolled Tampa, so now you should go 8-0 the second half of the year and blow every team out. No, but give us, you know, they play San Francisco, Atlanta. Give us another great game against San Francisco. Give us another great game against the Falcons. And then maybe you go to Denver and you kind of have a hiccup and maybe it's closer than it should be and it's fucking snowing and it's weird and you got to kind of escape, right? But give us 2-3 weeks of really high-level play, because no team is going to play high-level 16 weeks. It's not going to happen. So, but you got to, they got to give us 2-4 weeks of very consistent, we're the best team in the NFC type play. So we'll see about it. But again, man, it's the halfway point of the year. They're 6-2. They're tied for the top seed in the NFC. I look around the NFC and I see nothing but flawed teams. I don't know if the Saints can get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, but I don't want to hear any fucking arguments that they can't. Like, I look at Seattle's defense, by the way, as we get out of here, Seattle's defense, they have surpassed the 2012 Saints. They've given up the most yards after 8 games in NFL history. You're not winning shit with that kind of defense. We saw it. Okay, we saw it. So they're not. Seattle's not winning anything. I don't care. I don't care how fucking good Russell Wilson is. So to me, Andrew, it's Green Bay, Tampa, even though the Saints just kicked them in the face, and the Saints. Those are the three teams in the NFC.
Yeah. Yep. And it's just going to depend. We talk about this all the time. Who gets COVID? Who gets injured? Yep. What changes? I think right now the Saints are ascending. I think right now Green Bay and Seattle are both trending downwards. And look, in 5 weeks, that could change again. So who knows? Some other teams we don't expect may start to play better. So we'll keep an eye on it all. But it's exactly what you said. At this point, the Saints very easily could go 13-3, very easily could be the number one seed, and very easily could represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. But they've got to go do it.
And listen, you know, we this podcast, we stay away politics and try to put real life aside. But look, coronavirus cases are exploding in America again. And look, the NFL has said if corona gets really bad and we have to miss games or play a bunch of week 18 games to make it up, they may go Royal Rumble 16-team playoffs with no buys. So we've been saying it. Just get into the playoffs and be as healthy as they can be, and you just let it roll, because 2020 is just fucking weird. But anyway, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Sign up and become a Saints Happy Hour patron. We're the best Saints podcast on earth. That's just a fact. So for Andrew, I'm Ralph. We will see you again tomorrow.